Mount Sinai, God chose it because it was the smallest mountain, right?
But okay, so there are aspects that God wants to reveal that He's modest, and therefore He takes modest. Lower things. And there are times that God, if this is going to be God's place, so sometimes you have to show kingship. Like we have a concept in the temple, then the temple, they wouldn't skimp. On the one hand, they didn't waste because it was the public's money. On the other hand, they didn't skimp because this is the temple. So Binyamin gets the blessing Yedid Hashem. As we mentioned, he is the friend of God. From here we have the name Yedidia. And because he is Moshe describes Ben Ktefav Shechin, that between the shoulder blades is where God's Shechina is going to be. So from there King David and Shmuel the prophet derived where the Temple Mount is supposed to be.
I still understand the shoulder blade sounds like in the valley.
So they understood that it means something like the body of an ox. And the body of an ox's shoulder blades are the top. There's only the head that goes above them. They're still the highest part of the ox. For some reason, that's how they understood Ben Ktefav. Which shoulders? The shoulders of an ox, which are almost the highest part of his body, but not the highest part. So that's why they didn't choose Ein Etam, which is the highest place in Jerusalem, but rather Har HaMoriah, which is dropped beneath
them. Isn't there also main reasons such as the creation of the world?
Oh.
Starting from there, Akedat Yitzchak.
So it seems that's what the Rambam writes, that some tradition, Moshe Rabbeinu knew where the Beis HaMikdash would be. He knew that this is where the world was created, this is where the Akedah was, and Avram Avinu knew. Avram Avinu said, Ba'ar Hashem Yireh, but this tradition was kept a secret, and the Torah doesn't openly reveal it, and the Jewish people didn't openly know it. And when David HaMelech came to the scene, he didn't have a place, David and Shmuel, where they had the tradition, this is where it's supposed to be. They sat down and worked with the texts, like the Gemara says. Initially, Moshe knew where the Beis HaMikdash would be.
So we don't have a
definite place.
So this is it.
But we have a definite place. But the Torah didn't reveal it because the Torah didn't want anyone else to know where it would be. The Torah wanted it a secret.
Why wasn't it passed down oral tradition to David HaMelech?
I don't know why the tradition wasn't passed down.
It was lost.
The Gemara says that David and Shmuel spent all night figuring out where it would be, and they derived it from this pasuk. It seems like they didn't have that tradition. We could strengthen the question as to why this tradition wasn't passed down with the fact that there's a braisa, there's a series like Mishnayot called Melechet HaMishkan, how do you build the Mishkan? So this series of braisas were given to Moshe, we have them to this day, and they were passed down to Shlomo HaMelech. And based on these Mishnayot, braisas, Shlomo built the Mishkan. So they not only had a tradition from Moshe, how do you build the Mikdash? They had this whole series of Mishnayot. But this point wasn't in there. This point of where you choose the place for the Beis Mikdash, that wasn't there. So I don't know why. I don't know why it wasn't there.
Why did it take him so long, like, the whole night?
I don't know.
There must have been.
I guess there was room to understand differently.
I'm sure we can understand what level they were.
I don't know.
It must be on that.
Yosef gets blessed to have a wonderfully luscious ground, filled with delicious fruits that the sun ripens, fruit that the moon ripens. Our sages tell us that some fruits get ripened only by the moon, maybe vegetables. That get ripened by the cucumbers, right? They get ripened by the moon. And Yosef gets blessed from all sweet things, from the sweet things of the will of the one who settled in the snare. Like Michal pointed out a minute ago. He's getting blessed with the sweet things that God gives, but God is described as the one whose Shechina was in the snare. Now, what's the importance of the fact that the Shechina was in the snare? So, snare is the bush. The little thorn bush cactus that Moshe Rabbeinu saw in the desert burning and not being consumed, and said, and saw God revealed from there.
Snare is like a bear trap.
It's still there too. Snare is still there.
If you go around that area, you'll still see that thorny bush.
So that's what we're going to get to in a second. What is a snare, and why did God show up on the snare? So we discussed once that the name Sinai, Har Sinai, Midbar Sinai, might revolve around the Sneh. And what is the importance of the fact that God appears by the Sneh? So we mentioned a few midrashim. Either that God was showing Imo Anochi V'tzara, I am pained like the Jewish people. If they're in exile, so I don't show with any fanfare, I show up on a little bush. Or just like the Jews were in Egypt, so too the Sneh represented Egypt, that the Sneh is a type of thorn bush with all the thorns pointing inward. And if you want to stick your hand in, it slides right past the thorns. When you want to take it out, all the thorns catch it, and you can't pull your hand out without getting all cut up. I don't know.
It's still there. You can see it if you go around that area. It's still there.
It's thorn bush like that.
It's a caper.
Okay. I don't know.
When the Muslims used to, when they first here, they didn't have, like, they didn't build wells.
I looked at it.
They would, whenever there was a huge rain, they would drink that water. There'd be leeches in the water. Sometimes they'd get stuck in their throat. So they'd take a caper.
What's a caper?
Snap. And they would have only one at the end. They would stick it down their throat. You stick it on your throat, same thing, but when you're pulling it up, it would catch on the leech. And they could pull the leech out.
Just like rip the throat open.
You have to be very careful. But if you're going down, you're not going to. But if you're going up, back up, then you can hook onto the leech and you're able to pull it out.
Okay.
That's how they used to get the leeches out. You have to, otherwise you have a leech in your throat.
So God appears in the Sneh, we said, for one of these reasons, but there's another understanding, and that understanding says that God appeared on the Sneh to show that He is everywhere, that the Sneh represents the lowest bush. And we know that sometimes we describe God as feeding mekarnei re'im from the horns of the great re'im, and we discuss this great animal that shows up in the Medrash and in the Psukim called the re'im, that eats mountains, this huge animal, this re'im. And God feeds that animal down to bitekinim, to the eggs of the lice. God feeds them as well. So we say God is everywhere. He feeds everything. So when we want to describe that God is everywhere, we also say God is on the Sneh. So Moshe is saying they're going to have the sweet things from the will of Hashem, who even rests on the Sneh. Yosef is called Nezir Echav, the one who is separated from his brethren. He is like a Nazir. And here we have a pasuk which we're going to pause after this for benching. Bechol shoro hadar lo, the great one, this ox called Yosef, and Bechor over here doesn't mean the firstborn, but rather the kingly, right? The kingly, the powerful one, the great one, Moshe, Yosef has great honor. He has the horns of the Re'im, we discussed a second ago. And he will gore nations with these horns. What's he talking about? So we could say he's talking about Yosef's offspring, Yoshua, who fought so many nations. But it seems to me that Rav Sadia Gaon learns that this is speaking about Mashiach ben Yosef. And according to this, what Rav Sadia Gaon is saying, that Moshe Rabbeinu was blessing Yosef already with his great offspring, the Mashiach, and Rav Sadia Gaon seems to be learning that Mashiach ben Yosef is going to fight the nations, and that's what it says, Behemri Vivot Ephraim, that from the offsprings of Ephraim, he's going to come out and he will destroy tens of thousands and thousands from Menashe. The Rav Sadia Gaon seems to be learning that this is the, I think he means to say this is Mashiach ben Yosef. Now let's pause.
Although
we'll bench.
There's a theory.
There's one tribe he doesn't bless, and how come?
So we mentioned that he doesn't bless Shimon.
Why?
And Shimon doesn't get blessed because they had just sinned again with the story of Baal Peor, with the girls of Midian and the idol worship there. But he gave them a hidden blessing within Yehuda, that he said, by Yehuda's blessing, Shimon, right? That's their name. So he said, Shema Hashem, call Yehuda. And Shema Hashem, he was alluding, Shema is like Shimon, Shema Hashem. He was alluding to Shimon, and geographically, what had happened historically was that the tribe of Yehuda adopted the tribe of Shimon into their territory. So Yehuda's blessing really did apply to the tribe
you
of Shimon.
Do you mean that they're mixed in with, like, the Jewish people?
Possibly, yeah.
So
if you want, we'll have a class on that on the web.